Okay, then. Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Father, we look to you as we celebrate the death of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this sacrifice. We see Jesus in his grace, and we look to him. His body was beaten for us, and it was bruised for us. His body took lashes, and it's by his stripes that we were healed. His body was pierced for us, and he shed his blood, and we thank you for this. His body was broken and bruised, and the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on him, the judgment that was made, that was meant for us, because we sinned. Jesus took it. He took our sins, and we're taking this for our healing and our well-being, and we thank you for it. His blood was shed all over the place. It was a bloody sacrifice. And he did it for us. His blood washed away our sins and made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And now because of the blood of Jesus, we have boldness to enter into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in a time of need. We thank you for this. Open your Bibles up to John chapter 15. And this is one of those chapters that you should read over and over and over and over and over again. Because it's really, really cool. You'll see your face just explode because you'll see the wonderfulness of Jesus in this chapter. But I know that at some point in time, in your journeys through your Christian life, you heard somebody pray, and they'll say something like this. They'll say an eloquent prayer, and then they'll say, "If it be thy will." Well, they just shot themselves out of the realm of faith and threw themselves into the realm of doubt, gave themselves an excuse for failure, for missing. They say, "Well, it must not have been his will that I got healed. It must not have been his will that I got prospered." What they're essentially doing is blaming God for not receiving what they desired. I'll read a crazy little thing, but sometimes when you make it blunt, people can see it for what it is. His will, if it be thy will, concerning anything God has already promised, and therefore has already made it clear that it is his will, providing we ask in faith, nothing wavering, is really a prayer of unbelief. It is like saying, "I know you have already promised, and you have made it very clear by your word that it is your will. But do you really mean what you say? Are you truthful, God, or not? Can we depend on what you say?" See, we insult God by constantly questioning his will that is already revealed by his word. It is no less insulting to him than it would be to a human friend who had promised something and we continued to question about his will in the matter. See, when it's point blank, then it makes sense. Hold up your Bible and say this. This is God's will for my life. He says I can have it, I can have it. He says he'll do it, he'll do it. It's mine. There's a lot of people that waste a lot of time trying to figure out God's will for their life, and I'll tell you how they're wasting it. They pick up every kind of material. They listen to every kind of thing. They go on journeys. They go on sabbatical. They do all kinds of things except for this one thing. Pick up the Bible and read it. The New Testament. You know, they could have just as easily wrote the new will. That's his will. Testament is a will. This is his will for your life. Now, here's the thing. If you have a grandma that was just loaded, wealthy beyond measure, and she passed away, and a lawyer said, here's an envelope. Your grandma wanted me to make sure you got this. Now, as you go place that thing on the coffee table and say, that's my grandma's will for me, and show it to everybody, say, this is, she left this for me. Maybe even write birthdays on it and weddings on it and funerals on it. But not open it up and read it? Well, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the gold and silver under those hills. And he said he has freely given you all things with Christ Jesus, and he gave you this Bible. Wouldn't it be kind of curious to at least open it up and see what's in there? There's people that just don't. They'll open it up to squish a flower in there on a special day. They'll open it up to write birthdays and anniversaries and weddings and funerals on there. But they won't, however, open it up to find out what God has left them. Somebody told me one time, said that a man that has a Bible that is falling apart will usually have a life that's not falling apart. Your Bible should look like a preschool coloring book. I'm serious. It should be worn out. It should be highlighted. It should be colored on. You should have notes in there. Why? So you can go back and look at that stuff. If the Holy Spirit impresses a scripture on you, you'll feel it in your heart, you underline it, and here's what happens. See, we get busy. Life happens. You know, right after church, we're going to go to the buffet. And we got to beat the Baptist to the buffet. And then right after we get done eating, we got to go home. You know, and sometimes there's football on, or there's a garden, or there's a nap, there's something. And then it's chore time. And then it's supper time. And then you got to go to bed. And then you got to get up, go to work. And you got to go through life. And then that scripture that the Holy Spirit laid on your heart and caused you to underline it, it's still there. See, the Bible says that the thief comes immediately to steal the word from people's hearts. That's the seed. The birds come. You sow a seed out there. One time I planted some grass seed down at Midland. I scattered. There have been very few birds. Very few. And I went out there and I planted some grass seed and it looked like I planted birds. Unless that happens to people, they hear the word and it'll strike their heart, but the devil doesn't want you to have a revelation of that word, and he causes distractions, causes things to happen. Sometimes you have to be narrow-minded in your pursuit. When something strikes your heart, honor that, and make sure you go back to it and look at it and read it over again and see if you can find out what it is the Holy Spirit was trying to impress upon you about this particular scripture. You know, I listened to a tape one time. It was Glenn Smith preaching, and he said, you should go back every once in a while and open your Bible and read the stuff that you have underlined. Find out what it is. That's how we get revelation. Remember, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That means we hear it, we see it, we read it, we listen to it, we look at it, we ponder on it, you daydream about it, think about it, study it, tear that scripture apart, get a concordance, and go back and find out what some of these words mean. But look at that scripture and find out what's in there. You'll find these hidden treasures in there. And then pretty soon, it's not because you were fasting and praying and meditating, had yourself locked in the closet for 16 hours trying to get a revelation of this word. I promise you, you'll be eating a plate of Mexican food and the Holy Spirit will drop that revelation in your heart. And you'll say, oh, I got it. That's what it is. I understand it now. What happens is you got an understanding in your heart, and now the devil can't steal that word from you. You own it. It's yours. You have it in your heart. Now, let me get over here to John chapter 15, verse 7. I hardly use this Bible anymore because the pages are just a gentle breeze could just completely tear this one apart. The whole chapter of John 15 is talking about the relationship of believers to Christ. I'm going to start at verse 1 just because I want to get this thing in context. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges, that it may also bring more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. Do you see that? You ain't going to get nothing done outside of Jesus. It's just not going to happen. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. You ain't going to do anything. Now here's the thing. This fruit he's talking about is the fruit of the Spirit. That's some of the fruit he's talking about, the fruit of the Spirit. you're not going to make that grow. If you don't believe me, go home and pray for patience. And then come back and tell me how that went. Go home and pray that you'll be a more loving soul. I'll tell you what's going to happen. What you pray for, the devil is going to try to cause this exact opposite to happen in your life. You're going to find out just how impatient you can be, and unloving you can be, intolerant you can be. But here's the thing. This fruit is produced by abiding in the vine. You don't make it grow. It just grows on you because you're attached to the vine. That's Jesus. That's the only way this fruit can happen, is by just abiding in Him. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they burn. Here's the key verse right here. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, Jesus is talking about prayer here. People fall into trouble all the time. They say, if it be thy will. Jesus said that prayer at the Rock of Gethsemane, just before he got crucified. He knew what was coming down the road. He had never, ever, ever once in his whole entire life ever been separated from the Father. Ever. He knew that that was about to happen. He prayed, if there be any other way, nevertheless, if it be thy will. That's a prayer of consecration. As far as healing, as far as protection, as far as prosperity, as far as any other blessing of God, Christians have absolutely no business saying, if it be thy will. God has made very clear what His will is in His Word. Did you know His will is His Word? Now, go to 1 John chapter 5. I had some pretty cool notes I wanted to follow with. I didn't know what he was going to do for sure. John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is our guidance in prayer. This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears it. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So there's a lot of stuff in those two verses right there. We're going to break it down. Look at it. See it for what it is. This is His confidence, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. How are we going to have confidence in God? Number one, understanding that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That everything that was wrong between you and God got washed away by the blood of Jesus the moment you got born again. When you said, Jesus be my Lord, your sins were completely washed away, totally 100% forgiven. And then in Romans chapter 8 says, chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now, that little word now, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Once you get born again, you get placed into Christ Jesus, you're part of the body of Christ. Did you know You're not a Methodist, you're not a Baptist, you're not a Word of Faither, you're not a Charismatic, you're not a this, you're not a that. You're a Christian. You're born again. I don't like all this denominational stuff. That's just divisions. Why can't you just be a Christian? Amen? Part of the body of Christ. Yeah, well, I signed the card that says I'm a this. Yeah, well, Jesus died on the cross that said you're a that. Amen? But we have confidence in God. And the more you know Jesus, remember Jesus said, take his yoke upon you and learn of him. Learn of him. The more you learn of Jesus, the more confidence you're going to have in him. You know, a stranger can come up to you and say, tomorrow at noon, I'm going to bring a check for $10,000 and I'm going to put it in your hand and you're never going to see me again. Well, you're always going to wonder because you don't know this guy. This guy could be legitimate or he could be a rat. You might or you might not be at this special place at noon. I mean, who is this guy? I don't know him. What if it's just a scam? On the other hand, if your very best friend who you've known all your life and he's never once crossed you says, tomorrow at noon I'm going to be at your house, I'm going to have a check for $10,000. I bet you're going to be at your house. You might even make a cake. But see, that's how it is with God. People that don't have confidence with God don't know him. People that don't know God have no confidence. But when you know him, because you've been spending time in his word, see, you can't separate the word from Jesus. You can't separate Jesus from the word because Jesus is the word. You can't separate God from the Word. You can't separate the Holy Spirit from the Word. You can't separate either of them. They're all four different, but they're all the same. They're all one. When you understand that God cannot lie, I mean, people just take this like it's just common. And they say, well, of course God can't lie. But then they treat him like a liar. How do they do that? Asking, Father, heal me in the name of Jesus. And then the next day, heal me in the name of Jesus. And then the next day, heal me in the name of Jesus. Instead of the first day saying, Father, I receive your healing in the name of Jesus. The second day, Father, I thank you and I praise you for my healing. Because you understand that if he said he would give it to you, he gave it to you and it's yours. And then you spend your time thanking him and praising him for it. Amen? The next thing in there, if we ask, you need to circle this word. Anything. If you ask anything according to his will, he hears us. See, it drives me nuts when people say, well, God will meet your need. like it's just food, clothing, and shelter. No. If you ask anything according to his will. So, what's his will? Here they are right here. Well, that's just spiritual things. No, money's part of it. Did you know money's part of it? Did you know that money is part of the blessing? Did you know healing is part of the blessing? Spiritual gifts are part of the blessing. Anything that a man needs is part of the blessing. Did you know that you can ask for things that you just want? Well, I mean, is he just a hard-nosed God and he's going to just meet your needs and you're going to go about spreading the gospel and do whatever it is you got to do to get by day to day? Or do you think he wants you to have a little bit of fun once in a while? Did you know you can have things for just fun? Just because you want one. I know a preacher that wanted a Bramer bull. Because she used to ride bulls and she just thought it would be kind of cool to have a Bramer bull. So they came by and gave her a Bramer bull. Just, honestly, she didn't ask anybody. She just said, God, I think it would be cool to have a Bramer bull. And she got a Bramer bull. She got rid of it. I mean, she didn't need it. She just thought, well, that was cool. But sent it down the road. She didn't. It was just kind of cool to look out there and have a Bramer bull in my yard, she said. But, what? Huh? Oh, no. Okay. We'll see ya. Say hi to the slave driver. Okay. So we can ask anything according to his will. We know that his will is his word. God said to take his word and return it to him, that no word of his will return to him void. So when you return his word to him, you know that there's impact value in that. And when you use the name of Jesus, it's really going to hit a home run. So if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of him. It can't be any simpler than that. When we find a promise in the Bible, you can know that it's yours. Our job is to receive it. When Jesus was standing in front of the tomb of Lazarus, he gave us a really cool insight into receiving from God. He said, Father, I thank you for hearing me. Jesus thanked his way into a miracle. I don't know what he prayed before he got to that tomb, but he was thankful. He was thankful when he had a few fish and a few loaves of bread. And that thankfulness ended up feeding thousands. He gave Father thanks. We can thank God. This is how you receive from him. Father, I thank you for the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, and I through his poverty have been made rich. I thank you, Father, that by his stripes I was healed. Now you're not asking him for something that he's already given you. You're thanking him for something that you're supposed to receive. Amen? We'll finish with this. Go to Psalms chapter 23. A few weeks ago, we talked about how we see ourselves. That's very important in how we relate to God. And how we see God is just as important. Psalm 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Do we see him as a good shepherd? Do we see him as a loving father? Or, like some people, do they see him as a tyrant? It seems kind of coarse to describe him that way, but that's the way some people see him, as a tyrant. Can I have this idea that some days God blesses me, and some days God curses me. Some days he gives to me, and some days he takes. You know, science calls that schizophrenia. James calls it a man who's like on a wave of the sea. One day he's up, one day he's down. They call it a double-minded man in James. Back and forth. One day God's happy with me, one day God's mad at me. That's people that do not understand the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross. We need to know 100%, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that in God there is no darkness. He has no curse. He only gives. He doesn't take. Under the law took. If you didn't do things according to the law, you lost something. But Jesus fulfilled the law, redeemed us from the curse of the law, and put us in the covenant of grace. Our job is to receive. Amen. If there's any killing, stealing, and destroying, it's from the thief, not Jesus, not God. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you for everything that you do for us every day. We thank you for Jesus, our high priest, who's always making intercession for us. We thank you for his death, burial, and his resurrection. And everything he did for us in that. And Father, we look forward to the day when Jesus appears again and gathers us up and completes our redemption. And we see him as he is. We see him clearly. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have coffee and snacks back here and a fellowship. Come on back and have some.